Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right, it's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Shout-outs to everyone who just crossed into Friday. Much love to everybody in the Midwest, down south, West Coast. JR Sport Brief Show is nationwide. I'm glad you're here with me. We're going to be rocking for the next 2 hours. We're at halftime right now. If you missed the first 2 hours of the show, you can always listen for free on the radio.com app. Okay, you can also listen CBSSportsRadio.com. Listen on your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate and also SiriusXM channel 206. You can find me online, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. All of my social media is at JR Sport Brief. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. We know times are tough. Rocket Mortgage is here to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. A big shout out to Dave and Stu for helping take the reins on the second half of the show. The first show, first half, I should say, went swimmingly. We spoke about Dak Prescott and a lot of the misconceptions in his contract. You know, people are saying he's greedy, he's selfish, he needs to take the money. I think a lot of folks are misinformed. He's being a good businessman. There's no rush on that, okay? We also spoke about, talking about money, we spoke to Scott Miller. He's the national baseball columnist for Bleacher Report. He thinks we're going to have baseball this year. You know, I'm not that optimistic. We know everything comes down to the dollar, so I can see it happening, but it looks like we're going to have a whole lot more fighting before we get there. Last hour, we spoke about veteran quarterbacks. Should they politely help out their incumbent, basically their replacement? Is it a requirement of them? I mean, we have Ryan Fitzpatrick who's like, hey, I like Tua. I'm going to be a cheerleader, but I still want to play. And then you have an Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love, not necessarily the same type of dynamic. But, you know, if somebody's coming for your job, if you're at work and they bring in your replacement, you shouldn't just, you know, say, come in, let me help you take my job. You're cordial with them. You work with them in a team structure. But you don't just open up the whole door and say, hey, come on in. It's a dog-eat-dog world. It's no different in the NFL where the stakes are higher and the money is primarily larger. So I'm not mad at that. You know, and then these quarterbacks are playing longer now into their 40s. It's a difficult proposition. And before we went to break, we spoke about Aldon Smith on his way back into the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys. He's been reinstated outside of all of his legal troubles. And then Gronkowski also, he's on his way back in a different sense. Rob Gronkowski said, I'm feeling fit. He said, I'm about four smoothies away from being at my playing weight of 260. And he says, I'm leaner. It's not the same type of bloated weight. And it's going to be real interesting to see how Rob Gronkowski performs when, you know, he's lean and mean. And let's see if he brings back that RoboCop sleeve that he used to play with. Because Rob Gronkowski would take a beating. It didn't matter what was going on in the game. It's like he got the football down the middle, rumbled down the field, and just dudes bounced off of him because he was bigger than everybody. But he got nicked up along the way. Okay, and that's the Rob Gronkowski style. So a year off is probably going to do him good. And speaking of injuries, and this is a totally different sport, But talking about grinding folks into the ground and whether or not they're going to be able to play at a high level makes me think about one NBA coach. He's not currently coaching. He's just bouncing around, checking in with his friends. You know, he's had some time off. He coached the Chicago Bulls head coach. He last coached the Minnesota Timberwolves that ended last year. His name is Tom Thibodeau. Okay? Now, when I say Tom Thibodeau, what comes to your mind? You thinking about those playoff fights? Are you thinking about defense with the Chicago Bulls? Or are you thinking about injuries? Because Tom Thibodeau, whichever way you want to pronounce it, he's basically been in the NBA for a long time. Okay, we're talking about the late 80s into the beginning of the 90s as an assistant coach. And his claim to fame has always been defense. It didn't matter whether it was with the New York Knicks or as an assistant up in Boston on a championship squad. That's basically how Tom Thibodeau ended up coaching Chicago. And he had success. I mean, you had the reigning MVP in Derrick Rose. I mean, they brought in other players. You had your Jimmy Butlers, your Luol Deng's, your Noah. Joakim Noah was actually at the top of the MVP voting ranks for a season, which is crazy to think that, you know, he's barely in the NBA right now. But one of the large criticisms of Tom Thibodeau has always been about how many minutes he's going out there and allowing his players, his star players, to play. You know, Derrick Rose is a prime example because this poor guy, just it's his knee, it's his ankle, it's a tear, it's an ACL, it's a sprain, it's a rip. I would have loved to see what Derrick Rose would have done if he didn't have these injuries. He's one of those cases of what would have happened. And even right now, despite all the injuries, and I know his season just ended with another one, thank God it's not a rip or a tear, you know, he's still going out there getting you 17 and 18 points per game. Derrick Rose, if you ask me, I would say sans injuries and past his injuries, you know, he's pretty much exceeded my expectations. He doesn't have the same type of athleticism, but he's a solid scorer. He can still get to the rack, still knock down a jumper. He may not want to shoot three-pointers, but he can still get the job done. Now, dating back to those years in Chicago, it didn't matter whether it was Derrick Rose in his knees. It didn't matter if it was Jimmy Butler. It didn't matter if it was Luol Deng, who seemingly, you know, by the time he got to the Lakers, you know, couldn't even get off the bench. Or Taj Gibson. I mean, these players, Kirk Heinrich, they appreciated him. But he played them tons of minutes, ridiculous amounts of minutes. I feel like Luol Deng led the NBA in minutes every single year. And then eventually Thibodeau moves on to Minnesota. And he's the head coach of a young squad, also has executive power in that position. And then it seems like he tries to build, you know, the Chicago Bulls North up in Minneapolis. And you think about what he did with Karl Anthony Towns and also bringing in Jimmy Butler. It was a point in time, one of the seasons he had Minnesota, he had three players who were tops in minutes. And I don't know, he seems counter to what the NBA has been moving towards, where it's all about load management. We had Brendan Haywood on earlier this week. Brendan Haywood played about 15 years in the NBA, played with everybody from Michael Jordan to LeBron James, won a title with Dirk Nowitzki and the Dallas Mavericks, was a center, was a big man. And I asked him whether he thought the NBA was going soft. And Brendan basically said, he said, no. He says, if anything, we're smarter. We're not running guys out into full practices. We're not running dudes into the ground. We're not taking our star players and saying, hey, man, you got to push the team and practice every day. Harder to make them go ahead and get to the games. You know, this guy may not be the best. He may not be the greatest example. But if you think about that famous Allen Iverson quote, practice. We're talking about practice. Practice can make you. Practice can help you. Practice can help you improve. But when you're playing an 82-game slate, and if you have a young team, if you have an older team, a lot of NBA squads have transitioned into just having walkthroughs. A lot of NBA teams have recognized, hey, you know, if we run these dudes into the ground, we won't necessarily get the best out of them. So it's not a takeaway of practice or to diminish what you can get out of practice, but it's an understanding of, hey, if you're pretty damn good and the goal is for you to activate these skills in the game and to be healthy to do so, it would make sense to not run you into the ground. So Tom Thibodeau, who has that reputation, and it was actually a poll a few years ago about Coach Tibbs, and it was, which NBA coach would you not want to play for? And Tom Thibodeau was at the top of the list because players didn't want to deal with his hard-nosed style. They didn't want to deal with his hard practices. They didn't want to play high minutes. And that's not where the NBA has gone. So in the year that he has spent away technically from a head coaching position, I don't even want to call it fellowships, but he's been walking around advising. He's been learning and checking in to see how other coaches do things. And Coach Thibodeau was actually on a podcast with Wojciechowski, who breaks all of the NBA news, basically works for all of the teams. Congratulations to him, basically PR. But Tibbs basically was with Doc Rivers, and he was observing how Doc runs his practices. Now, obviously, this is a little different. You have a veteran team that you want to go ahead and compete for a title with. You know, whether it's Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, you have younger players, Montrezl Harrell, you got Lou Williams, you got vets on the squad. Tibbs, this was his observation, and this is what he told Woj. He said, I couldn't believe the shoot-arounds. I was like, if I did that, they'd hang me. They were phenomenal. But Rivers is the best at managing the day before, in between, because they had that day off. But everybody came in, and their young guys really work. And the older guys were getting treatment and recovery. So understanding who your team is and what everyone needs. And he also said, and there's more to it because you have to be careful not to divide your team. So ultimately, Thibodeau understands how he's perceived in the NBA. Someone who will work his players into the ground. And he's like, hey, Doc Rivers is working him into the ground and these guys would kill me. But then he also said he does a great job at managing how often they play, when they don't play, etc. Now, if you don't know, there's several coaching vacancies or jobs that will be available in the NBA for next season. Would you take Coach Thibodeau as your head coach? We have heard about the New York Knicks. Mike Miller is their interim coach. Coach Thibodeau was already an assistant under Jeff Van Gundy in New York City. If you're a New York Knicks fan, would you go ahead and take Tom Thibodeau as your head coach to help coach RJ Barrett and Kevin Knox? Are you confident that he would actually build up a system for them? And is Coach Thibodeau a coach for the modern NBA? I mean, his teams, even as the world evolved from the Chicago Bulls and then on into the shooting with the Minnesota Timberwolves, his teams never hit, you know, I would say the top of the list when it comes down to three-pointers. They were pretty slow to transition. That's the same Karl Anthony Towns and Jimmy Butler and Cat team. And now all of a sudden, all we do is see Karl Anthony Towns shoot threes. If you're a fan of the Houston Rockets and you have a James Harden who's already in that, I feel like 36, 37, 38 minute range, would you be happy with Tom Thibodeau coaching James Harden? That you can bet that offense would be completely different. And if you're a fan of the Brooklyn Nets, Jacque Vaughn is currently the head coach after Kenny Atkinson was basically shown the door. You can call it whatever nice resignation you want or mutual agreement. He was shown the door. Would you take Tom Thibodeau? Could you see him coaching Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant? I don't. I don't know if Tom Thibodeau fits in the league right now. I believe somebody is going to give him a head coaching job. Some team is going to look at his resume of winning, and they're going to go ahead and add him in. But I don't think he's a great fit. If I'm a Knicks fan, I don't want Coach Thibodeau coaching my team. If I'm a fan of the Houston Rockets, I don't want Coach Thibodeau coming in after Mike D'Antoni. And I don't think there's any way in hell that Coach Thibodeau gets along with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, who hold such strong opinions. Thibodeau is no pushover himself. I could see him on a sideline yelling at Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving coming over to basically yell back at him, even though he's not the one getting yelled at. So Coach Thibodeau is looking to get back into the NBA. But with his reputation, would you want him as the head coach of your team? I wouldn't. I give him credit for walking around and checking in with teams and trying to understand how things are rolling now. But I wouldn't have him as coach. I think his style may be a little passe. I think his time is up. A coordinator? Possibly. Come coach the defense. Come run that. But as the head coach, I don't want Thibodeau, because I actually want my players' knees to go out there and work. Okay, the phone lines are open. I want to go ahead and get your thoughts. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Would you want Coach Tom Thibodeau coaching your NBA team? Let me know what you think. It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're talking about Coach Tom Thibodeau, former Chicago Bulls head coach, former head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Had a lot of success with the Chicago Bulls, even taking them to the 2011 Eastern Conference Finals. Known for his defense, but also known for being hard-nosed. Also known for playing star players a lot of minutes. I mean, he was fired halfway through last season because Karl Anthony Towns did not like his style of play. I mean, even in an informal poll last year of players, when it came down to who you did not want to play for, Coach Tom Thibodeau was at the top of the list. But he's currently canvassing the league. He's seeing what jobs might be open. He's going to be a coaching candidate for the New York Knicks. Potentially the Brooklyn Nets with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Maybe the Houston Rockets with Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets not coming to a contract extension. But Tibbs said, you know, he's learned. He's changed. He checked out a Doc Rivers practice. And then he says the practices were phenomenal. The players played hard. But he says Rivers is the best at managing the day before and in between and days off, etc. So do you think Coach Thibodeau is different? Or do you think he's still likely going to run your players into the ground? You heard the number, 855-212-4CBS, is sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back. It's a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Let's not waste any time hitting up these phone lines. Would you take on Coach Thibodeau as your head coach if you're an NBA team? Let's talk to Justin, a.k.a. Pistol, calling up from Indiana. Justin, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Go on ahead.
Hey, thanks, JR, for having me on. I just wanted to say that I think Thibodeau does have a place in the NBA today, but not as a head coach. His knowledge is definitely valuable that he could bring to a team, but I've spent a lot of time in the sports industry. I have a bachelor's in sports management. I've worked for the champion ABA team, Jacksonville Giants. They've won about 8 ABA championships. So I've been around basketball. I played for Bruce Pearl in college at the University of Southern Indiana. So I think Tom Thibodeau does have a place in the NBA these days with his knowledge, but not as a head coach. that he has value to a team and that he could give to a younger head coach to give to these guys.
And I hear you, Justin. I think that might have to be the best way. The only issue with that, and thank you, Justin, for calling up from Indiana. I think the only issue is there's an intimidation factor. You know, is Tom Thibodeau going to be able to sit on the bench at this point in his career as an assistant to a younger coach just kind of as a backup? If I'm a younger coach, I don't necessarily want Coach Tom Thibodeau over my shoulder. If anything, it's probably going to be an edict from management that I have him on my team. I don't know if that's a good look. And I don't see Tom being an assistant at this point in time. Somebody is going to go ahead and give him a job. 855-212-4CBS. Would you take on Coach Tom Thibodeau as your head coach? You know what? This sounds like something that the New York Knicks would do just because they want disaster. I think that's basically what it would boil down to. Let's talk to Jay calling up from Lakeshore. Jay, you're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief Show. What do you think?
Yay, I'm next. What's up, everybody? What's going on?
Yeah, we're all here, Jay. What do you think about Coach Tibbs?
I love the show, man.
Thank you.
See, I want to say, I'm confused now because a while ago, Coach, what's his name you just said? I had thought about him being the coach for the Cavs a while back, and then you just said he would make a horrible head coach or something like that. And when I did suggest that a while back on ESPN 850, they said the same thing too. And then you just said that he did take a team to the finals or some, or like can
well,
like
let
do
me
know
ask,
how to.
Well, let me ask you a question, Jay. Would you want, I didn't say Coach Thibodeau would be a horrible head coach. I didn't say that. But let me ask you, would you take Coach Tom Thibodeau as your head coach?
Well, I'm saying, like, at first I thought about it, but now I don't know. Like, I'm totally confused. Like, I need help. I don't understand.
No, I understand, Jay. I understand. Well, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help you out. I'm trying to help you understand. We can think about Coach Tom Thibodeau. We can think about his record. We can think about his career. He's been a solid assistant. Ask Jeff Van Gundy. Ask Doc Rivers. Ask the Boston Celtics team, which won a championship because of his defense, because of the defense that he set up. But as a head coach, he's had great talent. I mean, I venture to say, a team with Derrick Rose, Taj Gibson, Joakim Noah, a young Jimmy Butler who was just growing as a basketball player. I mean, what Jimmy Butler was when he came into the league and moving into an all-star has been pretty amazing. That's his work ethic. You know, I'd venture to say they'd be a good squad. They're all individual defenders. So I think the odds were good that the Bulls were going to win some games. So I don't know about Thibodeau as a head coach. Let's talk to Patrick from San Diego. Patrick, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Go on ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me. You know, I'd be half inclined to have Justin maybe provide some info to my Knicks. Sounds like he knows what he's doing. But as far as having Thibodeau on the Knicks, for example, I mean, you know, lifelong fan, I think the only thing that would keep him in line is having Taj there as a voice of reason. But, you know, I don't want somebody. I think he would be best suited for an older team. I don't think he would be best suited for a team like the Knicks, where they have such young talent in Mitch Robinson, RJ Barrett, Knox, Ntilikina. You know, I don't want him running these dudes 40 minutes a game into the ground. I want somebody that's going to be able to build their talent. But, you know, the resume speaks for itself. You said he was an assistant in Boston. You know, KG was Defensive Player of the Year in 08, if I'm not mistaken. He had Noah, who was a Defensive Player of the Year. He knows what he's doing, but he needs the right situation. And I don't think that's it for the Knicks. They need somebody to grow their talent rather than run them dry.
Nah, I hear you, Patrick. It makes sense. And I mean, even what you're saying about a veteran team, if you think about the New York Knicks, the team on the other side of the river, Brooklyn. I mean, that's a veteran team that's supposed to. You don't bring in a Kyrie Irving and a Kevin Durant to not, you know, compete for a championship. You know, I just think even Thibodeau on that squad, they would be too many personalities. I don't think it would be a smooth situation. I think that'd be trouble too.
No, I totally agree. I mean, he needs somebody with some solid leadership. You know, I think of a la Vince Carter 5 years ago, maybe somebody that is willing to accept his position, help people grow, knows what his role is, and still be a voice of reason to the head coach.
I hear that. Well, thank you so much, Patrick, calling up from San Diego. Let's see what happens with Coach Thibodeau. You know, somebody I feel is going to give him a job. I just hope it's a good situation where he can grow, and maybe Coach Thibodeau is going to be different. Okay? When we come back, we're going to talk about another coach, David Fizdale. Okay? Speaking of the guy who got fired from the New York Knicks, he has some interesting thoughts on what we might see when basketball returns. And then Aaron Donald, he has some thoughts on football returning. Yeah, the former quarterback record, defensive player of the year. He has some interesting thoughts. We're going to keep taking your calls as well. 855-212-4CBS. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Big shout outs to Outkast. Okay, we've been talking about Coach Tom Thibodeau. We've been talking about coaches in general. Coach Thibodeau looks like he is going to be back with an NBA team at some point later this year or next season, whenever that might be. He's been hanging out with Doc Rivers pretty much, you know, canvassing the NBA and keeping busy since he was fired midseason last year with the Minnesota Timberwolves. With a reputation for running players into the ground, would you want him as your head coach? Let's talk to Vince. Vince is actually calling up from Atlanta. Vince, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, JR. Good evening to you. I'm a Queens native originally. I'm here in Atlanta nowadays. And as I look at what the Knicks and the Nets have done over the years, I'm just horrified. I don't see Tom Thibodeau fitting in either place very well. Specifically with the motley crew that the Knicks have assembled. Brooklyn's got too strong a personality with the two guys that you mentioned, KD and Kyrie. And as far as Houston is concerned, if D'Antoni is not re-signed, they're not coming out of the West anyway. But Thibodeau's noted, like you said, for just kind of running guys into the ground, which he did for Derrick Rose prior to Jimmy Butler rising to prominence. So I just don't see it, my guy. I'd like your thoughts in conclusion of who you think would be a good fit for the Knicks, and maybe why, in your knowledge, why they didn't pursue maybe Mark Jackson a little bit more fervently.
Well, and thank you, Vince, for calling up from Atlanta. I appreciate you. I mean, I've personally thought that for years. But we know in the case of Mark Jackson, things didn't end all that well when he was coach of Golden State. He came across as rebellious, and he pretty much butted heads with ownership and management. And, I mean, a team like the New York Knicks with Dolan in charge, I mean, talking about butting heads, I think James Dolan, I think he butts his head against the wall all the time. He butts his head with fans. If I was Mark Jackson and I'm working on television, and I'm getting that check, and I don't have to deal with the scrutiny. All I have to do is worry about what, my bosses think about what I'm saying about the game. I'm not going to run to the New York Knicks job. And I think the New York Knicks, they've primarily made bad decisions just with Mark because of his strong personality. I think that's primarily what it is. And if I was a Knicks, I wouldn't be too mad at hiring somebody like Kenny Atkinson. He got a raw deal coaching Brooklyn. I mean, if Brooklyn had a third star, if all their stars were out there, I think they'd be solid. But, you know, it seemed that the team and the players soured on him. Because ultimately, if Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving wanted him there, guess what? Kenny Atkinson would not have gone anywhere. And he built up a solid foundation for the Brooklyn Nets when he took over. And I believe they were on their way. But you know what? When you have star players and they have their own mindset as to who is going to run the team, they want someone who's been through it before. I can understand. So they pretty much, in my opinion, I feel it's obvious that they lost confidence in him running a squad. Because it went from Kevin Durant saying, hey, I was happy signing with the Nets because I looked at Kenny and I was cool with it. We didn't hear that by the time he was on out the door. Okay, my Twitter is at JR Sport Brief. You can find me Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Just looking through some of my tweets right now about Coach Thibodeau. Timmy Jones says, Chicago has had loads of injury problems the last 10-plus years, not just Tibbs' fault. Okay, not just his fault. He has to take some of the blame. Matt Essential says, all I know is since he left, we haven't made the playoffs. Mo Smith, he says, Tibbs could coach my Knicks as head coach any day. So, you know, varying opinions on Coach Thibodeau. I think he'll get a job. I hope wherever he goes, I hope it works in his favor. It's real tricky. Let's see. Sometimes old school, new school doesn't necessarily mix. But I know in the case of the New York Knicks, I think they just need they need more than a shot in the arm. They need to get the owner out of there. But that is besides the point. And speaking of someone who coached for the New York Knicks, David Fizdale, you know, he recently shared his opinion. We know it looks like we might get the NBA back. We await word from Adam Silver over the next couple of weeks whether or not we're going to get our NBA games back and what type of season we're going to have. Is it going to take place in Orlando, at Disney World or land? You know, what is this situation going to look like? Well, David Fizdale, he put in his two cents about the production element, the production aspect of it. You know, Joe Buck said that it's a high possibility or probability because all stations are pretty much exploring this. You know, we may have virtual fans. We might have digital crowd noise. We may pipe in an atmosphere just so people can go ahead and enjoy the games. Well, David Fizdale said, if that's the case, if we don't have fans at the games, NBA games, he says, now you're gonna hear everything. You're going to hear dialogue between people. You're going to hear a lot of vulgarities. Well, man, I don't know. I guess David Fizdale is used to just watching or coaching on the sidelines. But I can't tell you how many curse words I hear while watching the NBA. And sometimes the curse words aren't even coming from the players. It's coming from the stands. So I don't think that's anything out of the ordinary to hear Carmelo Anthony grab a rebound and, you know, get the blank out of here. Or, you know, a guy miss a shot and yell out a four-letter word about how he missed it. I mean, there's a lot of language we already hear in an NBA game. The censors aren't always so quick to catch it. So I don't know if David Fizdale has been living under a rock. But it's going to be interesting to see how the NBA does have these games, you know, without fans. And if you're a fan of the summer league, you've seen it before. You've seen it in gyms in Vegas. You've seen it in gyms in Orlando where they have facilities. You've seen it. I've been watching games without fans my whole life. I'll watch two guys playing in the street in the alley. So I don't think it's going to be that much of an adjustment. But this is big time. This is TV. This is radio. We have to have that extra element to it. And, you know, I know there are a lot of players who feel the same way. You know, Aaron Donald said something today that was extremely interesting about fans in the stands. I'm talking about Aaron Donald, former Defensive Player of the Year for the Los Angeles Rams. Listen to what he said about the need for fans in stadiums. Okay, I mean, well, yeah, of course, fans help make the game exciting. Of course, the fans help pick you up. Of course, the fans help drive. And I can understand, you know, his perspective on the defense. You know, there's nothing more than having the fans out there yelling, making noise, trying to disrupt the offense, trying to get in the way of their communication. I get it. I understand. But that's not what it is right now, Aaron Donald. So, I mean, what's the point? I mean, at the same time, you heard his statement. He goes, you practice and practice. And practice is practice. And then you prepare to play a game and be on a big stage and play in front of a crowd. Just no excitement without fans. It wouldn't be fun to me. I don't think it would be fun to play a football game without fans. Okay. Well, too bad. I mean, that's just what it is, Aaron. Like, what is your ultimate point? You're pretty much not going to have a choice at the end of the year. That paycheck is still going to cash. You're still going to get your money. So what you complaining about? And I don't know if he's saying this in jest. He kind of, you know, it just doesn't make sense. We all have had to make adjustments because of what's going on in the world. And I don't take it as you know, Aaron Donald is out here complaining. What is Aaron Donald making a whole big fuss about? You know, I don't take it as that. But it's like you're being Captain Obvious. It's like we know fans make the game fun. You know what else is fun? Going to the football game. You know, I'm disappointed. I have no idea. You know, we want to talk about fans. I don't know if media is going to be allowed into games. I would be very happy going into Mercedes-Benz Stadium to go check out the Falcons and all of their offense. I would be very happy to go to MetLife Stadium and see what Daniel Jones and Sam Darnold can do. I would be very happy to go and check out the new SoFi Stadium where Aaron Donald is supposed to be out there wrecking quarterbacks. Going to Jerry's World and watching that offense. I'm not alone in that sentiment. We all want to be back out at games. We all want to check out the players. And, you know, we just have had to deal with it. The same way that we've had to deal with the stores and the malls being shut down. And you know what? People, unfortunately, have had to pay the price with their lives. So I get what Aaron Donald is saying. We want to see fans. But that's not the reality. Sometimes you can't have what you want. And sometimes you have to make do. That's part of being a professional. Is being able to do your job throughout stress. Is being able to do your job and get up and go to work when you don't want to. So I'm not going to chalk this up into the Blake Snell category because it's certainly not. But it was just an odd statement to hear this from Aaron Donald, you know, just saying, hey, you know, it's not going to be fun. It's a little odd to me. You know, we got Dave here helping to run the show. Dave, what are your thoughts on what Aaron Donald said about, you know, hey, it's no fun without fans. Am I alone? That seems kind of obvious.
Yeah, and I would ask him one simple question. Would you rather not play and just say, oh, well, I'll just wait until everything's back to normal where media, fans, and there's no restrictions and there's a full stadium. Would you rather just not play at all? Not make your salary, not put games on for the fans and the spectators at home, and just say, you know, I just can't do it without the fans. Obviously, we want it that way, but you have to live in the world that we're living in right now. It's going to be professional sports all around the world with no fans for a good portion of time, and we hope that they can keep it that way on the field or on the court or wherever to where they can even have it without fans, and then, you know, God forbid, you know, months down the road, there's magically no sports at all because this, you know, comes back. I don't want to be gloom and doom, but, you know, let's just say this bounces back and it happens again. And then there's no games again. You're going to be saying, well, I wish that I was playing in front of no fans versus not playing at all.
Yeah, thank you, Dave. I mean, in a lot of cases, it's would you rather have something or would you rather have nothing? That's the facts. And I think it doesn't matter what sport you play. It doesn't matter what league you represent or who your team is. Everybody has to be extremely careful what you say right now. Because we've gone past the point of, oh, well, we miss sports. Oh, we miss sports. We've gotten to the point of, okay, how are we going to bring sports back? And now everybody has an opinion. I opened up the show talking about the NCAA. And how they may lose upwards of $4 billion. How some schools are going to have to cut bait with some of their athletic programs just because they don't have the ability to try to stay afloat with football. We hear it with Major League Baseball, with a guy like Blake Snell saying, oh, I'm not down for any more concessions. I got to get mine. You know, it's not worth my health. You know, we hear it in some of the calls that we got earlier today You know, some of the callers called about Dak Prescott and tied his contract situation to, you know, what's going on in the world and the financial situations of many Americans. Tell me how the two of those tie together. How does what Dak Prescott is doing by trying to negotiate a contract for himself for long term, how does that relate to someone like Blake Snell who comes out and says, I you know, it's not worth it for me? How is that the same? So there's a few things that I know that's going to be facts. We're going to hear more complaining. We're going to hear more about money. We're going to hear more about how we should have fans and we should have this. And the reality is things aren't going to go everybody's way. Everybody is hurting in some type of way. Everybody's missing out on something. That's facts. And also know that when we do get sports back, there's going to be bumps in the road as well. Nothing's going to go scot-free. We spoke to Scott Miller, baseball writer for Bleacher Report. And, you know, he pretty much said, yeah, it's second nature in baseball for guys to slap hands and spit while they run in. There's going to be a lot of hiccups like anything. I just ultimately hope that people stay safe. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to continue talking with you about the NFL. There was an interesting comparison between Taysom Hill and Lamar Jackson. I'm going to tell you who said it, and I'm going to tell you if I think it makes sense. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.